We'd like to get started. If anyone has a cell phone on, please turn it off or silence it. The meeting's being audio taped and videotaped. If there is an attorney or anyone who wants a copy of a decision, we'd ask you to fill out this notice of appearance.
Also, just for the record, we're going to start with the public testimony matters, but we are going to call number 42 on the admin agenda early on. So if you're here for the noise variance for Shama Design at Harvard Smith Center, please don't step too far away. Also, number 37 on the agenda that has been taken off, as this is a duplicate. They renewed their license. Number 57, the event was canceled, so it has been withdrawn. Number 60 has been withdrawn as well. And we will be calling matters 4 and 5 together, matters 8 through 16 together, matters 18 through 24 together, and 25 through 30 together. So again, if you're here for any of those, please make sure not to go too far away when we call one. Thank you. So I am slightly sick, so I will try to keep my voice up, but if you don't hear me, if you just raise your hand, I will sort of know and try and up the tempo. If you're going to have conversations, please make sure to take them outside, and remember that the noise still travels here, so the farther you can go, the better for us. Thank you.
The License Commission hearing, Wednesday, May 8th, 2019. It's 3:07 p.m. We're in the Michael J. Lombardi Building, 831 Mass Ave. Conference room. Before you are the commissioners, Chair Nicole Moratti-Ferrer and Branville Bard. First matter, application DeWitt Ekthrab for a new Cambridge Hackney driver's license.
Please come on up, sir. You can take a seat. Yeah, right there is good. Thank you. Good afternoon. If you could please state and spell your last name for the record. Please state your name and say and
last name.
Yeah, and spell your last name.
E G. T H E R A B.
And your first name is?
D A W I T E.
And just so that I know, how do we pronounce your name, please?
D A.
No, how do we pronounce it? How do you say your name?
David.
Dawit. All right, thank you. You've never been a taxi driver before, is that correct?
No.
And why do you want a taxi driver's license? Why do you want the license? Do you have a lease? Are you leasing a vehicle? Are you trying to buy a medallion? What's going on? Are you trying to lease a taxi so you can drive a taxi in Cambridge?
No, before.
No?
No, I applied just new license.
Yes, I know you're applying for a new license. My question to you is, do you have a lease agreement already or no? Do you have a job to drive a taxi in Cambridge?
Yeah.
Yes?
Yes.
With whom? What vehicle would you be driving? What taxi are you going to be driving?
Yeah, passenger, customer. City, no city.
Officer Zito, have you spoken to Mr. DeWitt?
Not in terms of his application.
Yeah, no.
No, I haven't. No. Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna give him a second call. Why don't you talk to him about it, and so then he can take the application. We'll call him after we see you, Officer Zito. We won't keep him too far down the line. Thank you.
Libby's Market. Incorporated doing business at Libby's Market, 575 Mass Ave, for a pledge of license.
Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your names for the record?
Good afternoon. Robert McGovern, attorney for Libby's Market, MCGOVERN.
Thank you.
Jasmine de Pablo.
Thank you.
Arjun Kanwar. A-R-J-U-N, last name K-U-N-W-A-R.
Thank you. Counselor?
Yeah, thank you for having us here today. Robert McGovern representing Libby's Market Incorporated, DBA Libby's Market. They're seeking a pledge of license for the off-premise retail package store all alcoholic beverage license located at 575 Massachusetts Avenue. As just mentioned, I'm here with Jaswin de Pablo, owner, as well as Arjun Kunwar, who is a manager at the store. The manager of record and another owner, Amrik Pablo, intended to be here. He has a health issue that precluded him from being here today. As we mentioned, we're seeking a pledge of license for equipment and inventory. They've owned and operated the premises since 2004. And we'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
And they'll pave as the person providing?
That's correct. It's an individual. Yep.
Okay. And that has no interest in the license?
He does not.
Okay. And do you have signed agreements?
Yes, we have a commitment letter. Yes.
Could we get a copy of that, please?
Yep.
And then on page 2 of the agreement that you provided us,
mm-hmm.
Of the pledge agreement,
mm-hmm.
to be exact, when it defines collateral, it mentions something in terms of that they can renew the license, amend, transfer, and everything. I'm assuming that's after they exercise their pledge?
Correct. Yep.
Okay. I'll take the letter if you have it for us then.
Yeah. This was an original commitment letter. It was originally intended to be an entity. Now it is an individual.
Okay.
But the individual had owned the entity, and that's the reason for the switch.
Okay. Any questions? Right. I would vote to grant. Granted. Thank you.
Very much. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Driver first. Still wait. Back to number 1. Officer Zito, why don't you take a seat too? Thank you. Okay. So you've never been a taxi driver before, yes?
Yeah.
And you've never been a taxi driver in any other community? In Boston Somerville or no. Okay. And right now, are you negotiating with someone to rent their taxi to drive in Cambridge? No? Okay. So you want to get the license so you can start looking for jobs in Cambridge?
Yes.
Okay. And Officer Zito, no issues with?
No issues.
Granted. Okay, Officer Zito will speak further to you and provide you the rules and regulations and everything else, okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
So I have 42 as a one day that was deferred from last meeting.
No. CJ Baker, on behalf of Shamit Design, special noise variance May 15th through September 14th at Harvard Smith Center.
I'm representing Harvard University this
morning. Just come on up. Shamit Design here.
Said we were going to make it, but I'm project representative.
Okay. All right, if you could please state and spell your names for the record.
I'm Edward LaFleur, LeFLore.
Patrick Lee, PATRICKLEE.
Thank you. Any other resident here or business owner that's going to speak on this one?
Okay.
All right. Ms. Boyer, I know you've spoken as well with them, so if you could please take a seat and just state your name for the record. Again, if you're going to have conversations, please take them outside, Ms. Courtney. Thank you.
Is this on the agenda? What number is this on the agenda?
42.
No, it doesn't say this matter.
You have it at 42-2. Where's the agenda? Where's the agenda that you posted?
The May 3rd.
Well, where's, this is the special noise variance for the Smith Center. Where did you post that one? Well, this matter was deferred from last week to provide more opportunities for the applicant to discuss it with the businesses in the area.
Can we keep the conversation down, please?
With the businesses in the area, in terms of the application and what was being sought. So, and this, I mean, this was an agenda that was posted on May 3rd, 2019. I printed it right off of the website, so it's definitely there. You may have it as a different number, but it's definitely there. So let's proceed. Mr. LaFleur, can you tell us the need for the variance?
The need for the variance is to do loading and unloading from a crane from Dunster Street. Our plans are to perform this operation at 12 a.m. to 5 a.m.
So you changed the hours?
Yes.
It was originally 11 p.m. to 7 a.m.
Yes, we met with Patrick Lee earlier this week, and he expressed some concerns about the hours of operation, how that one extra hour is in conflict with his closing hours. So we spoke with the university, and we were able to adjust the project time frame to allow for a 12 a.m. start.
And this was also, I mean, this is for the new building as well, right?
It was a renovation to an existing building, and the roof was not part of the original scope.
And now we have noticed that it needs to be done?
Yes.
And why do we, I mean, the variance, it looks like it was only to set up the crane, is that correct?
It's to set up and use the crane to pick materials up to the roof. It's not to perform any work other than the loading and unloading materials.
And do you still need it all days, or is it, I mean, because I know that you submit a correspondence Monday through Wednesday, is that correct?
Yes, so we only need it for Monday and Wednesday. We do want to reserve the right in case anything were to come up that, you know, we'd be able to explore other time frames, but our intent is to minimize disruption to what we would think that Harvard Square would be a busier air time, which is Thursday through Sunday. So we would like to limit it to Monday through Wednesday for the majority of the picks.
Okay, and based on some of the communications, the email communications between you guys, I know Mr. Lee had mentioned something of a different street where to put the crane, Mr. Lee, is that?
Yeah, I think generally we feel like, I think it was on four, well, first of all, just to back up a little, this has been a three-year project of digging and construction that's gone on Dunster Street. So it's been difficult for the small businesses on Dunster Street, and on 4-8, on April 8th, so really just a month ago, we received a notice saying that this additional work was being done. And then we subsequently got informed that there was going to be a variance hearing for the crane picks. But there is a much larger project going on besides the crane, which is in addition to the previous 3 years of construction that's been going on in the street. So I think generally the street, the business owners on the street feel that there should have been a little bit more communication in terms of saying, hey, listen guys, there's been 3 years of construction here, but there's this piece that wasn't completed and we're going to have to go back and do it. Let's, you know, here's a very detailed example of what the disruptions are going to be daily on Dunster Street. And then we want to sit down with you guys and kind of figure out how we can mitigate some of this. Unfortunately, none of that was done. It wasn't until after this board made Harvard sit down with us that we met last Friday. And at that meeting, basically, we were given two options. The options were either support the variance or we'll just do the work during the day. And we just think that's a false choice. We think that there is a third option where we sit down and have a more robust conversation and figure out some ways that the disruption can be minimized. And we don't think that that's too much to ask after 3 years of continual disruption.
So, Mr. LaFleur, why exactly does this need to be on Dunster?
The Smith Campus Center is configured like the letter I, and so the areas of the roof that has majority of the work, there's mechanical equipment up on the roof. We are going to, 60% of the crane lifts are going to be on Dunster Street. The other 40% will be either on Holyoke Street or on Mount Auburn Street. So 100% is not going to be on Dunster Street, so there is a shared burden on different streets. The requirement for a crane of a larger scale to reach areas that we would reach on Dunster Street is, it would be an atypical crane, which would probably put too much of a load on the infrastructure on the streets, cause too much traffic disruption during the day. It would be a much larger and more, it wouldn't be cost effective.
And Mr. Lee, what would be the issue of having these cranes arrive after the business closed?
In terms of the crane arriving after close, we're not as worried about that as what's going to happen to prepare for the crane when it's arriving. So what we've heard from Harvard is that, you know, none of that stuff is going to happen before midnight, so your business won't be affected at all. And the problem is that's what we've been hearing for the last 3 years, but then it ends up affecting us. So what we'd like to do is answer all of these questions and be very specific about them all before the project moves forward. And that's what we really haven't had. I received 2 emails from Ed last night. Those were the first 2 emails that I've received from Harvard at all about this project.
Ms. Boyer?
I think they're both pretty clear on what they want to do and what is happening. One of the things I had maybe recommended was that the crane isn't there until 12:30. That is when the business, that's the last business, Hourly Oyster, is open at 12, but that gives a half an hour for patrons and employees to get off site and not even be part of the area in that area. And just be on Monday, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays only, even though there may be some sort of possibility of another day that try to keep it to Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday.
And the crane, if the crane arrives, let's say 12:30, 1 a.m. or whatever, you're saying that from 1 a.m. or 12 to 5, which is what you just said, from 12 to 5, you'll be setting up the crane, hoisting the materials up, and then at 5 a.m. the crane leaves?
It all depends. I think, and forgive me for not having the exact details in front of me, I think we're applying for 11 to 7 a.m.
Yep.
The issue that we're having right now is not a perfect scenario, especially when Harvard is doing impacting Harvard work. So Adam's house is also going through a renovation, which is on Linden Street. So if we for some reason run into any issues on Dunster Street, we would then block all the southbound traffic from Mass Ave to Mount Auburn Street on Dunster and on Linden at the same time, which would create a major issue on Harvard Square. That's one reason of many that we wanted to go at night, is to limit that disruption. We also work with the DPW on that recommendation as well. That was the theory. By moving to 12:30, 1 o'clock, what that does is it reduces the amount of material that we can put on the roof, and by limiting it between Monday and Wednesday already, we're limiting the amount of material we can put on the roof on a daily basis and also remove material from the roof.
What exactly are you doing on the roof, though?
We're doing a full roof replacement.
Well, what kind of roof is that?
I think it's a rubber roof.
But you don't need...
And the other issue with the roof is that there's mechanical equipment sitting on pads that have the rubber membrane around it, and so we have to pick the mechanical equipment up off the roof. We've got to bring it down to the ground, do the roof work during the day, then bring the mechanical equipment back up. It's a very complicated building itself by the configuration. So by already moving the operation till 12 o'clock, we are adding additional times that we will need to pick materials up, and so that means our schedule is going to go out further. These material fix, and so now we're already extending our schedule. We've committed to Patrick that we will continue to meet with him on a regular basis. In a perfect scenario, yes, I would prefer to be out front further and have any discussions with him and other businesses ahead of this work, but they didn't determine that this roof work would occur this year until when we sent out the notice.
So regardless of the time, can you explain to me, once you set up the crane and hoist the materials up and use it to move the mechanical equipment or whatever, will the crane remain there through the regular construction hours?
No. So we lift the material up between, at this point, 12 to 7. Hopefully we're done before 7. And the crane drives away, and it comes back a day or two later or the next week when we have to then either bring material off or put material on. So there'll be no construction during the day. So I mean, there'll be no crane work during the day, excuse me.
You put enough materials up for them to work during the course of a day.
Yes. And all the work is on the roof. There's no exterior work on the envelope like we did. There's no utility work. There is no other work other than working on the roof, which is 10 stories up.
And every night you have to disassemble chillers, whatever it is up there, and then reassemble it?
All the work would happen during the day. So the mechanical equipment, all the roof material would be put in a position where they would just hoist at night. There would be no actual physical work at night on the roof.
Do you know the square footage of the roof?
I don't.
Okay. Anything else, Mr. Lee?
I agree with Ed. I wish that we did meet 2 months ago, or whenever they found out, immediately to start discussing these things. I think in terms of Harvard's timeline and in terms of their cost overruns, like that's unfortunate, but they're not really too worried about how this is going to affect the small businesses. I feel like the least they could do is, you know, let's delay this for a week or two. Let's sit down. Let's answer all the hard questions. And then we can all move forward from a much better place. Instead, what he seems to be saying is, let's do what we did before, and we'll all hope for the best. And our experience hasn't been that they've lived up to their end of the bargain.
Yeah, I chime in, please, if you don't mind. Thank you. The alternate to this is obviously we have an asset we need to maintain. The roof is leaking. We would typically do this work during the day. The reason why we push this tonight is actually to reduce the impact on small businesses and Harvard Square. It was an elected thing. It costs more money to do this work. I know that no one's concerned about Harvard's financial positions, but it is a, we did this and we moved this tonight specifically to reduce the burden on the small businesses because of the impacts that the Smith Campus Center renovation project already provided. If we need to maintain the asset with the roof leaking, we would request from the DPW street closures during the day. The driver of the schedule is to finish before September. Obviously in September, students move back. Harvard Square is a different animal, and we want to be off the streets and completely demobilized by the time that students and just the activity within the Harvard Square becomes a little bit different.
And I do know that the Public Works had recommended night work to a certain degree. So I am aware of that. I know that they submitted that. Do you have a question? This is what I would recommend. I would recommend that we only grant this for 2 months, that we grant it only to be used Monday through Wednesday, and that the hours be 1 a.m. to 6 a.m.
I think that's reasonable.
And then if, you know, when you're getting close to that two-month mark, we regroup and see where we're at. If any issues come up before that two-month mark, you submit them to us, we regroup, and we see where we go from there.
And during that time, the assumption is that you'll sit down and talk and you know, alleviate any concerns that y'all might have together.
Absolutely. Okay. Sure. May I ask just a clarification on the work start time?
Mm-hmm.
Cranes come in. I want to make sure that we are not in queue with this matter at all. If we have a crane that shows up on the street at 12 o'clock and is not blocking traffic and is not active, it's just driving, it's an overroad piece of equipment, I want to make sure that that's not looked at as being disingenuous in any manner.
I would say as long as you're not calling, I would say as long as you're not calling the police to have someone towed, because I assume that you will be getting parking street restrictions for parking.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that's why I'm doing 1 a.m. because even if they close at midnight, 30 minutes patrons and employees have to get patrons out. That's 12:30. If employees sort of stay around and linger to clean up, that's why I'm saying 1 a.m. because I think that's closer to a more realistic time of when things will be shutting down. And even if employees know that they need to move their car to finish up cleaning, they can do that as well.
So they wouldn't need to move that car until 1 a.m.?
Yes. Yes.
And if there was activities on the roof in preparation for the crane pick that was not to create disruption. Again, I want to make sure that
1 a.m. is the start time.
Understood.
For the crane and also the variance. Like, I mean, unless you're saying that you want to give them an opportunity to start to have employees working at 11 p.m. on the roof.
I think the more opportunity that we have on the roof level in order to make sure that we can prepare so that when the crane hits the ground and puts its outriggers out, the first thing it does is lift up and pick something that's already prepared to be picked up.
Okay.
Can we push that to midnight? Because that 11 is going to turn into 10 and our windows are going to be open.
Okay, so let's do that. Let's do granted with the following modifications. Site prep on the roof.
Yes.
And work on the roof may start at midnight.
Mm-hmm.
Crane may not start until 1 a.m. No vehicle can be moved until 1 a.m.
Understood.
And everything ends. Crane leaves at 6 a.m. Workers can continue through 7 a.m.
Is there, may I ask a question? Yes. The 6 to 7 a.m., the concern with that is, I'm just curious to know the concern with that, because I would just...
Well, we have a lot of construction in Cambridge. We have a lot of in and out in Cambridge. Mm-hmm. We have already a lot of businesses impacted in Cambridge. And even though they may not open,
mm-hmm.
They need to get prepped. They need to start getting in there. And quite frankly, once you get everything down, crane, as you disassemble it, move, I don't want you to create more traffic in Cambridge. There's plenty of bad traffic enough.
All right. Definitely understand. I just want to make sure we're clear. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. And then Ms. Boyer will send everything to you guys either today or tomorrow. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you for your time. Appreciate it. Thanks, everyone.
Disciplinary matter toward a construction company for allegedly operating construction devices at approximately 6:30 a.m. on April 23rd, 145 Broadway, in violation of special noise variance 32541.
Okay, Turner Construction. All right, anyone testifying, please stand up and raise your right hand.
Swear the testimony you give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your names for the record?
Steve Montero, Monteiro.
Thank you.
Nick Ritchie, Ritchie.
Thank you. And you're both with Turner?
Yes.
Andre Boyer, Boyer, Investigator, City Cambridge License Commission.
Okay. Go ahead, Ms. Boyer.
Thank you. While patrolling on April 23rd, 2019, approximately 6:30 a.m., while I was going into different construction sites, I saw that a crane was being in use before the allowable time of 7 a.m., along with loading and unloading before 7 a.m., which was in violation of their special noise variance 32541. And that's where they're at.
And their noise variance allowed them to start work at 7 a.m.?
Yes, and Saturdays at 7 a.m.
And then the variance was only for delivery of materials, correct?
Yes, to the loading dock. And that was after from 6 until 10 p.m. as well, 6 p.m. to 10 p.m.
Okay. Thank you. Turner?
We believe that that did indeed happen. And after realizing that and being notified, we have put a Turner staff member in charge of gates starting at 6, which is when most personnel would show up to ensure that the only thing entering the job site would be personnel into the building, and making sure that we don't have another crane set up or disruption before 7.
Ms. Ware, have you received any complaints since you last went there?
No, I have not.
Okay. Questions?
I don't have any questions.
And this variance is supposed to go through November, is that correct?
Yes.
And can you explain to me again the need for this variance?
It's just the ongoing work. We'll have deliveries coming in and out for the Akamai people that are moving in their furniture. So we do all our deliveries typically off hours, so it's after 3 p.m. Most of the work is done inside the building. There's a little bit of odds and ends that are being done on the exterior of the building now, but...
So the delivery is with regard to...
Just materials coming into the...
Materials for the construction.
Correct. Yep.
And you start construction on the week at what time?
During the week, the personnel comes in at 6. And that's inside the building.
Mm-hmm.
No work on the outside of the building happens until 7.
Do you have an explanation as for why the crane wasn't used at 6:30 on the 23rd?
That particular task, to my understanding, was a one or two day activity, and I think the trade that came in was trying to get in, get the job done, and leave. So they also were a trade that didn't have a lot of duration on the job. They have been informed that that can't occur again.
What day of the week was this?
Tuesday, I believe.
Okay. And the materials that you're delivering, they're not any type of special materials or anything?
Just your typical building materials, sheetrock, furniture's now coming in on some of the lower floors, TVs are coming in for the client that's moving in.
I mean, I'll tell you, my issue right now is that I'm not seeing then really the need for having this variance. And unless you tell me otherwise, I mean, I'm inclined to vote to revoke the variance.
So when we applied for the variance, it was because of our deliveries. The way the project is structured, we cannot bring in deliveries during the day just because of the amount of manpower that's working on the outside and inside of the building.
Okay.
So our materials are scheduled pretty much every day, Monday through Friday after 3 p.m., and we have continuous trucks that'll pull in, unload at the loading dock, which is inside the building. Currently, there's no garage door, but the trucks do back in, and they shut off their engines. The truck will sit there until the material's unloaded, then the truck will leave. So there's really, the only noisy part is backing in trucks with the horns on the truck. There's no physical work happening after 3 p.m., it's just the unloading of material, so we put in the request just to be covered.
Sure. I don't have any more questions.
Okay. I would issue a violation and a $300 fine.
I would agree.
Okay. Violation, $300 fine. You'll receive notification and a statement of reasons. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Disciplinary matter, Crown Castle, for allegedly operating construction devices at approximately 3 a.m. on March 27, 2019. and approximately 6:29 p.m. on March 28, 2019 at 4-6 Garden Street. And Phoenix Communications for allegedly operating construction devices at approximately 3 a.m. on March 27, 19 and approximately 6:29 p.m. on March 28 at 4-6 Garden Street.
If you could please stand up if you're testifying and raise your right hand, this lawyer is still under oath.
Swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do.
Thank you.
There's an extra chair here. You can certainly pull it up. Thank you. Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your last names for the record?
Joe Shannon, Crown Castle, S-H-A-N-N-O-N.
Thank you.
Phil Murphy, Phoenix Communications, M-U-R-P-H-Y.
Herb Bertoni, B-E-R-T-O-N-I.
B-E-R?
Yeah, T-O-N-I.
Thank you. And you're with?
Crown Castle.
Thank you.
Andre Boyer, B-O-Y-E-R. Investigator for the City of Cambridge License Commission.
Thank you. Go ahead, Ms. Boyer.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. Natalie Harold here. Okay, go ahead.
I did notify both complainants as well. I wasn't sure if I'm either of them.
I'm sorry. I what's the name of the other complainant I did? I had Ms. Harold.
It's Brian. I think it's the same last name.
Okay. Brian, Harold, anyone here for this? Okay, go ahead, Ms. Blair.
So we received noise complaints that on March 26, 2019, at approximately 3 a.m., and March 28, 2019, at approximately 6:29, that construction from Crown Castle and also from Phoenix Communications, they're the subcontractor of Crown Castle, were performing work at 4-6 Gardner Street outside the allowable hours in accordance with the Cambridge Municipal Code.
Okay. And did you receive any pictures, videos, or anything?
No, the woman tried to submit a picture, but she had her baby and she couldn't get a picture, is what she explained in the email.
Okay, did you speak to anyone at Crown Castle or Phoenix Communications?
After the complaint, we had the construction meeting to explain the special noise variance to all the contractors, and I had spoken to Phoenix Communication at that time, and they knew that they would be having the hearing.
Okay, thank you. Who's starting?
Okay. I think that...
Do we receive a complaint on the 27th and the 28th, or on the 28th complaining about both dates?
We received the first complaint the next day after the 27th, and then they came back that evening, and then I got an email after that, a second email.
Mm-hmm. So we did it, mea culpa, and we've talked a great deal of pole and condo. We're in the middle of a significant small cell project right now. This is related, both of the incidents are related to a small cell project. At pole and conduit, Madam Chair, we have spoken a lot about the need to do work during the day, and that if we weren't to do that, then we would have to come in for a special variance. So obviously we know the rules and we made a mistake. After we got the notice from Ms. Boyer at the beginning of April, what we did internally is we brought our teams together to all of our construction managers and project managers to kind of remind everybody what the Cambridge rules are, that, you know, says it pretty clearly on the permit when we're permitted to work, when we're not. If there is a reason that we would need a special variance, they know they have to go through me and I have to come to you to ask for it, and it's not always likely for our type of work that we're going to be able to get it. So knowing that, everybody has been reminded of their role in making sure that we're good stewards in the communities that we serve, and we hope that it won't happen again.
And I appreciate accepting responsibility, but can I ask why in the world at 3 a.m. were these things being done?
We don't have a great excuse, and I apologize for that. You know, this small cell project we're in the middle of right now spans about 14 jurisdictions. Frequently in other jurisdictions, we end up with nights and weekends permits. It does cause some confusion and forgetfulness on the part of our project managers that are managing, our construction managers and our general contractors, and I think that's probably what happened here.
Mr. Murphy, you have anything to add?
No, we were out there and we were working in the city of Boston, and then they went into Cambridge to test, and that was it.
Questions?
So are you saying that we were confused as to the fact whether we had a night, a variance?
No. Okay. We were confused about what the rules were. Okay. It's totally on us. It's not about, everybody knows that to get a special variance, we come here first, and that we did not have that.
Okay.
With that said, I would issue a violation on both and a $300 fine for each. Now the question is, do a $300 fine on each, meaning March 27th and March 28th, no, or a $300 fine together? Okay. So violation for both March 27th and March 28th with one global $300 fine, one to Phoenix and one to Crown Castle. We'll receive statement of reasons, okay? Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Disciplinary matters, Chef Group Incorporated, doing business as Hana Sushi, 2372 Mass Ave, license number 11548 for failure to comply with suspension order.
If you could please raise your right hand.
I swear the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you. Please take a seat. Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your names for the record?
My name is Dali, D-A-O, last name L-I.
Thank you.
My name is Mei Hui, whole last name is spelled H-U. I'm an attorney for Chef Group, Inc.
And your first name?
Mei Hui, it's spelled M-E-I-H-U-E-I.
Thank you.
Tyler Bubenik, B-U-B-E-N-I-K. I'm a licensing investigator with the Cambridge License Commission.
Thank you. Before we start, Mr. Lee, can you tell us your email address?
T-E-R-R-Y, 0421, at yahoo.com.
Okay, do you receive any emails at terry.0421@yahoo.com?
Yeah, I received a hearing scheduled for today.
Okay, but you don't have a second email address that's terry.0421?
No, that's the only one email.
Yeah, and it's just terry0421.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to dismiss this... I'm going to dismiss this one because we noticed that the notice of the suspension and everything else were sent to terry.0421. So I'm just going to dismiss this matter if you're okay with that.
I'm totally okay with that.
Okay. But what we will do right now, Counselor, is provide a new suspension date, and then we'll send that over to you. And I would suggest 2 weeks from today. That's the suspension date? Okay. Okay.
So that will be emailed to Terry?
That will be emailed, or to yourself, Counselor, if you give us your...
I will.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we'll, once you file your notice of appearance, we'll email it to you.
Okay.
Okay? Thank you, and we apologize for that one. And
no
then
problem.
I'm not sure
thank
if you're
you.
Doing the next one, but...
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Be a different attorney coming
okay.
for that.
Okay, thank you.
Transfer of the common victualler wine and malt license 11548 Chef Group Incorporated doing business as Hana Sushi 2372 Mass Ave to Umami at the same location. Hui Peng Li as proposed manager of record.
Yes.
That's okay.
Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your name for the record?
My name is Hui Peng Lei, H-U-I-P-E-N-G. Last name is L-E-I.
Thank you.
Attorney Russell Chin for Umami Inc., R-U-S-S-E-L-L-C-H-I-N. I'll file an appearance for you.
Thank you.
I'm just doing the translation. My name is J-I-N-L-O-N-G. The last name is T-A-N.
Thank you. Go ahead, Counselor.
Yes, good afternoon. I'm here representing this corporation, which is under agreement to purchase the business, Hana Sushi, which was just before you, before you reached us. We've applied for our transfer of the liquor license, the malt and wine license, with this board, and we applied for CV license as well. I have with me an affidavit of notice that I'd like to submit to the board.
Thank you.
And I'd have to answer questions. The applicant does not intend to make any revisions to the business. Same operating hours, same menu essentially. So very, very little, if anything, will be changed.
So the current, so the application, I'm glad you brought up the hours because that was one of my questions. The local application filed has 8 a.m. to 1 a.m. as the operating hours, but the current operating hours here are 11 a.m. to 1 a.m. So is that what we're doing, 11 a.m. to 1 a.m.?
Yes.
11 a.m. to 1 a.m.?
Yep.
Okay. And when you say no changes to the operation, is it still going to be the same type of concept?
Sushi. Correct.
Sushi. Okay. And Mr. Lee, are you 21 proof or TIP certified?
I am. I'm one of the.
Yeah, I have a good license too.
Okay, but he is the. You are the proposed manager of record, correct?
Yep.
Okay, so you have to be either 21 proof or TIP certified. Not today, but if we approve you, you have to get that before
okay.
approval.
Yeah, I go to take the test already.
Yes.
Oh, okay, so you, okay.
Give you a TIPS training.
And then, Counselor, I think we already got clarification of this, but there's no management agreement, is that correct?
That's correct. There's no management agreement. It says small corporation.
So, I think we need to make that change. Did you make that change on the ABCC application? Oh, and then, Counselor, I'm not sure. The other issue is on page 2 of your ABCC application.
Mm-hmm.
The current officer stock and ownership interest. That's not correct at this time. The percentage is wrong. Dao Lee has 55%, and Wei Qiang Chen has 45%. Not our local application, your ABCC application.
No.
So here. I'll give me 1 second. So on both pages 2 and 3, so on page 2, you have the stock ownership interest.
Would that be for the current ownership?
The current ownership is 55-45.
Oh, okay.
It's on top, on the second page, page 2.
Dao Lee is 55.
Dao Lee is 55.
And
Wei is 45.
Thank you very much for the correction.
And then on the next page, you want to strike that you don't have a management agreement. Mr. Lai, I note for the record that you have a lot of experience as a sushi chef, is that correct?
Yep.
And in the restaurants that you work, did they have alcohol as well?
Yes. I'm working in the uni.
And are you familiar with the rules and regulations of this board, the ABCC, and the laws of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts with regard to the sale and service of alcohol?
Yes.
Okay. And do you understand that we expect you to stay up to date with those rules, laws, and regulations?
Yes, I do.
Anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition? Have any questions?
I don't.
Okay, I would vote to grant.
I would too.
Granted. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
C City of Cambridge for the Tobin School, Peabody School, Cambridge Public Schools, Haggerty School, Grayman Park School, Fletcher Maynard Academy, Cambridgeport School, Baldwin School, Amigo School, and King's Open.
Good afternoon. Hi. Please take a seat. Could you please state your name and spell your last name for the record?
Sure. My name is Vidad Konjic, last name K-O-N-J-I-C.
And why don't you spell your first name as well, just
sure.
In case.
V-E-D-A-D.
Thank you. And just to confirm, all of these are for flammables except the one for King School, which is also for parking spaces.
That's correct, yes.
Okay. And the parking spaces for the King School, this is for the employees and students and parents?
For employees.
And there is no charge for the parking space to the employees?
I don't believe so, no.
Okay. Okay. Any questions?
No.
Anyone in favor of these petitions?
We're residents.
Okay, so please come on up.
Registered letters.
Yep. And which one are you here for?
We're both abutters of the Tobin School.
Okay, so Tobin School is for the storage of 100 gallons of Class 1 and 200 gallons of Class 2.
We would like to know what those flammable liquids are.
So the 201 is a diesel fuel for the generator that's already in the building. The other one is fuel for snowblowers. I have to check that amount. That doesn't. This seems like a lot. We
it
don't
does.
Keep. We
it's
don't.
Yeah.
We don't keep more than 5 to 10 gallons on site. This is the application came. All the numbers came from the fire department permit. So I don't know in the past if they've stored more fuel, so they just carried over the years. But I can assure you that we do not store more than 10 gallons of fuel for snowblowers. There's just no need for that.
Okay,
no
question.
Sure.
I've lived across the street from the school for 40 years, and I've never received such a letter. Why now?
I don't know. My conversations with the licensing commission, when we applied to renew licenses for MLK, which has a garage, CRLS that has a garage, in those conversations, I disclosed that we also have fuel for snowblowers in other buildings, and they said, well, you need license for that as well. So I've only been here for a little over a year and a half, so I'm not sure why it hasn't been done a long time ago. But I understand it is the regulation that needs to be followed, and for that reason, we have now filed for
all
our schools.
So this is a first-time license?
Yes, these are new licenses. They had flammable material permits from the fire department, but they did not have the license.
Right. We've always said from the fire department, those were all up to date. But again, in my conversations with the commissioning, with the license commission, it was discovered that we do in fact need, even if we store only five gallons of fuel for snowblowers, we still need to have a license. So therefore,
yeah, and I will get to you, ma'am, but I just want to grab your names because I didn't get them when you came up. If you could please state and spell your name, that would be great.
Wendy Zenz, Z as in zebra, E N S.
Thank you.
Lucy Wilhelm, W-I-L-H-E-L-M.
I'm sorry, I'm a little closer. W-I-L...
H-E-L-M.
Thank you. And Lucy with an E-Y or just a Y?
Well, it's Lucille. You can put that down. Oh, Lucy Y.
Okay, thank you. And ma'am, your name?
I'm Ellen Serena. Serena, Sierra, Echo, Romeo, India, November, Oscar.
Thank you.
I'm just about the Amigo School because
okay.
I received.
Okay, so we'll get to that one. Yes, ma'am, and your name?
Margo Hull, H-U-L-L, about Peabody School. Just for clarification of the 5,000 gallons of Class 2.
Okay.
That would be diesel for the generator.
For the school.
For the school, yes.
So for the heating system.
No. For the generator. In case of, that we lose power, the general will kick in, light up all the exit signs and things like that.
And that's for all the schools, because I'm just here for verification. Just
right.
Just for the Peabody School.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And then, ma'am.
So,
I just want to let her talk, because she had raised her hand before, so I want to hear what you have.
Yeah, as I said, so I wanted to know, this 10 gallons, is this diesel fuel?
No, 10 gallons is just a regular unleaded fuel for the snowball. For the snowball.
So that's gasoline, which is more flammable. And see, I'm with no knowledge of how they're storing this. I feel kind of creepy, especially with all those kids.
All fuel is stored in flammable cabinets, which have been inspected by the fire department.
And they're locked.
Yes, they're locked. Nobody has access but our custodians.
Okay.
I brought the OSHA guidelines for flammable liquids, and I wondered if you follow these and how you train the people to handle this fuel.
So that's not really under our purview right
no,
now.
No, but I just thought I would share it.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'll definitely look into this.
Okay. Thank you. Anything else? Sir, if you can please come up so that we can make sure that your voice is, and you state your name, please.
The name is Fred Yalouris, Y-A-L-O-U-R-I-S.
Sorry, Y-A-L?
O-U-R-I-S.
Okay.
And we live immediately across the Cambridgeport School, and we were looking for clarification as well, because 1,000 gallons of diesel fuel that is being stored.
Cambridgeport?
Yeah.
It's just 10 gallons for Cambridgeport, and that's also fuel for the snowblowers.
Plus 1,000 gallons of class 2.
Well, let me see. Maybe please. Cambridgeport.
Yeah, that's a diesel generator.
Yes. So this is a backup generator. It's a backup electric failure. Question, has the city ever considered battery systems for backup power rather than fossil fuel generators? It seems so un-Cambridge to have all these vast sums of fossil fuel in where our children go to school.
So we are reducing, we are moving away from fossil fuels. All our boilers, gas is also fossil fuel. But starting this year, we are moving to electric. Everything with generator, obviously, you have to do either with the gas or biofuel, which is what the new building is going to have on Cambridge Street. So as we go to replacements, we definitely will. I'm not sure that the battery that buildings used to have battery systems a long time ago. The problem with batteries is they're also very environmentally unfriendly when it's time to replace them. And we're talking hundreds of batteries.
I would imagine that the state of California would disagree with you on that subject.
Yeah,
because batteries have become extremely reliable and environmentally friendly, especially if they are powered by non-fossil fuel energy sources.
As we go through replacing these boilers, generators, we definitely look into, we work very closely with community development and they provide us with information what's out there now, and we definitely follow
all the processes. So it's on your list of objectives
absolutely.
For the future.
Absolutely.
That's very good. Thank you.
But that quick question, in your application for Cambridgeport, I only have the 10 gallons of class 1. What did you also mention, 1,000 gallons of what?
The gentleman mentioned that, but I do have here that it's a diesel generator.
Okay.
So there has to be a tank. So I have to look at that application.
Okay.
It says on your thing 1,000 gallons of class 2, and that was the notice that we got.
In Cambridgeport.
And number 10 on this list?
Class 2.
Because that could be number 10 on the list.
Yeah.
I'm surprised because that notice comes from the application, right? So the application doesn't have it, and notice
I have the 1,000 for the Cambridge Public Schools at 40 Granite Street, not for the one at 89 Elm. For the one at 89 Elm, I only have 10 gallons of class 1.
They're all a little different.
Let me look into Cambridgeport.
Yeah, we'll also confirm with the flammable material permits attached, because I didn't print them out.
Okay.
And I'm sorry, you two had your hands raised, so if you could please state and spell your names for the record.
Sure, Kim Courtney, C-O-U-R-T-N-E-Y, Cambridge resident. I live near the Peabody School.
Okay.
I'm just curious, if this has been going on for so many years, why this wasn't initiated as a disciplinary action first before considering
I'm not here to answer those questions. Mr. Dietrich, did you have anything to say?
I have the exact same question.
Okay, thank you.
Why aren't these being brought as a disciplinary action?
I'm not here to answer your questions, thank you. Okay, anyone else? Yes, ma'am.
Again, just for further clarification, the 5,000 gallons of Class 2 for Peabody School, what fuel are we talking about?
I'm guessing that, I mean, it has to be diesel.
So it's 5,000
right.
Stored in a tank?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else?
Just one more comment.
Yes,
these people are here, I think, and there probably would be many other people here, because there was a lot of distress caused by the letter because it was so terse, no explanation. We'd never gotten one before. So to do it in future, maybe a little cover letter explaining things. It, as I said, there was a lot of distress caused by people. Certified letter, never saw it before.
We can definitely, I mean, I did ask the question what we need to send, and I was told the legal notice as it appears in the newspaper. We actually found it, which was a cleaner, printout, on the website. But if that's something that we need to run by you, like a cover letter, what we want to send, or can we just add?
No, that's fine. I think you're just getting constructive criticism from your.
Oh no, I agree 100%.
Yeah, I
could not agree more.
Right.
This is the first time I'm sending something like this. I really wasn't,
Thank you.
Wasn't sure how to.
Anyone else on these petitions? Okay. I would vote to grant with just confirmation of the flammable material permits issued by fire department.
I concur.
To all, thank you.
Thank you.
Through 24 are all president and fellows of Harvard College. For DeWolf Street, 10 DeWolf Street, 20 DeWolf Street, 85 Dunster Street, 40 DeWolf Street, 53 Bow Street, 58 Clinton Street, and 26 Clinton Street.
Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your names for the record?
Erica Johnson, E-R-I-K-A, J-O-H-N-S-O-N.
Justin Stratman, J-U-S-T-I-N, S-T-R-A-T-M-A-N.
Anthony Pacillo, A-N-T-H-O-N-Y, P-A-C-I-L-L-O.
Thank you. These are all existing dormitories?
Yes.
Do you have TOIs for all dormitories?
We do now.
Anyone in favor of this these petitions? Anyone in opposition to these petitions? If you could please state and spell your name for the record.
Sure, Kim Courtney, C-O-U-R-T-N-E-Y. I thought I just heard the applicant state that they just received certificates of inspection.
I believe they said they now have COIs for all.
They now.
Right.
What is your opposition or your support?
They did not have them. They should have had them.
Is that all?
No, I'm asking the question.
They're not here to answer your questions. Is that it?
Oh, but you allowed other people to ask direct questions.
Are you done?
No, I'm not done.
So then,
these
proceed.
Are in-holder applications, correct? In-holder license applications?
They say so, yes. They're lodging houses, yes?
Yes. It says in-holder. slash lodging house.
Exactly.
Right. So is it an inholder license?
Ms. Courtney, I'm not here to answer your questions. Do you have anything else to say?
I'm asking if these are applications for inholder licenses.
They are inholder lodging house licenses.
Okay, so
yes.
Inholder licenses require a restaurant on the premises.
Ms. Courtney, I'm not here to discuss Chapter 140 with you. Lodging houses are within Chapter 140. These are lodging houses. Do you have any opposition
so
as to
not,
these applications?
I'm opposed to them being issued inholder licenses if they don't have restaurants on premises.
Okay, thank you. Anything else? Anything else? Thank you. All right. Anyone else? Accept that. I would vote to grant.
Granted.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'd just like to submit the affidavit.
Yes, you can give him some.
Oh, thank you.
Excellent. Thank you.
Through 30, BMR 500 Kendall Street. BMR for 50. Is anyone here from BMR?
Okay. Second call is to all of these.
R.J. Hart, LLC, doing business as Mamala's, 1 Kendall Square, for an alteration of premise to amend their patio.
Afternoon.
Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your last names for the record?
John Kessen, K-E-S-S-E-N.
Thank you.
Heather Moger, M-O-J-E-R.
M-O-J-E-R. Sorry. Close again. Thank you. And this is, okay, why don't you tell us a little bit about what you're doing at Mamala's?
We are requesting increase of seating and shifting the shape and position of the patio.
Okay, and right now you have 22 seats on the upper floor and 24 on the lower, and then you're asking for 52 seats with a 72 occupancy. How is that being broken down between the two?
Sorry, I don't have the map on me.
I think the one you gave me doesn't tell me.
That's why you're asking.
That's why I'm asking. Well, no, I ignore that. So, here.
32
I'll give you what? If you can tell me. If you can actually identify, is that the lower level or the upper level?
This is the upper level and the bar is
here.
The lower level.
Can you give him a pen over there? And can you write on the one that's upper level, and the one that's lower level, lower?
So 32 on the upper level.
And then the rest are on the lower level?
Correct, 20 seated and 20 standing. And these are seasonal increases.
Okay, and the 20 standing would be at the lower level?
Correct.
No upper level standing, correct?
No.
And then do you know the square footage? Because I know you filled out the ABCC application, but the way that it was filled out, it's not apparent what you're doing, but I know that you changed the configuration, so it needs to be cleaned up a little bit in terms of your description.
Okay.
So do you have the square footage of the upper level versus the lower level?
Yes, I can calculate that for you. The upper level includes walkway,
okay.
So the patio itself doesn't take up all of the walkway.
Okay.
So I can calculate the square footage of that table area.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I mean, this is only going to slow down if we approve. It's only going to slow down your application with the way that it's written here because it's not clear. So if they're just going to be asking for clarification, you might
right.
as well clarify it now.
Right.
Because we have the floor plans and we can go from there, but it'll just be.
Right,
okay.
Because there are two areas.
Yep. And then can you explain why you need the increase in the patio?
We have the space, and there are lots of people that want to sit on the Rubens.
Okay. Do you have any questions?
How would you like me to submit the square footage clarification?
I think via email would be best. If you just submit that first page of the ABCC application with those changes, that would be best. Anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition? Okay. I would vote to grant, provided we get that change. Okay. I do want to clarify on the record that zoning provided their approval for the change in seats, and it's not contingent. The first approval was contingent upon the seats being taken from outside, from inside to outside. That's no longer the case, so I would just want to clarify that on the record and make sure that we remove that zoning restriction, which no longer applies.
Okay.
Since we don't have Commissioner Bard, since we don't have their change here to the language, is it okay if Ms. Lynn puts your initials on this one?
It is.
Okay, thank you.
Law Dog LLC doing business at State Park, 1 Kendall Square, for an increase of patio seating occupancy.
Good afternoon again, and for the record again, your name?
John Kessen, K-E-S-S-E-N.
Heather Mojer, M-O-J-E-R.
Thank you. And this one, there's no changes to the layout, just increase in seats, is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
And same question for this one, how are you breaking down between lower level and upper level seats? Because right now you have 24 and 24 on each.
Right. The downstairs is 20. I believe it's on the map as well. I'm sorry.
That one I do not have here. I know for sure. Are you doing standing on the upper level on this one?
Yes.
And standing on the lower level
yes.
as well? Okay.
I will make that clarification.
Okay. And again, the need for the increase in seats?
The space is there to safely run it, and certainly the demand.
Okay. Anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition?
I'm yes, not sir. In opposition to the petition.
If you could please state and spell your name.
David Dietrich. I'm not in opposition to the petition, however.
I'm sorry, Mr. Dietrich, can you spell your last name for the record?
D-I-E-T-R-I-C-H.
Thank you. Go ahead.
I did not hear any evidence of public need for this.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Should I clarify?
Did you want to add something? Go ahead.
Just that we're in the past consistently on a wait on the patios all summer, turning people away who would like to sit.
Thank you. Do you have any other questions?
No.
Okay. With that said, I would vote to grant, provided we get clarification on the breakdown on the seats. And I would also like to clarify on the record that zoning also provided approval for the increase and also removed the restriction of the seats coming from the inside to the outside, so I would want to clarify that as well.
Okay. Thank you.
Administrative matters, Dan Clapp on behalf of 1634 Meadery for a farmer winery license.
I would vote to grant with an amended start time of 11 a.m. per MDR approval letter.
Facility concession services doing business at the Sinclair is applied to add a pinball machine and karaoke.
Granted.
License commission has received notice that night market has closed.
So this is a malt wine and cordials license number 11504. Board acknowledges. And then I know that the agenda says about surrendering the license. The notice doesn't say that, so I would just say board acknowledges and we get clarification on what the plans are.
I've requested clarification.
Okay. Thank you.
Alex Tannenbaum, I think this one you don't need to hear because he submitted the regular one-day application, which I have on.
Yeah, so I'm just going to deny this because this is not an extension, so deny, even though they submitted. They've already submitted the proper application, but we have it on the agenda. I'd rather deny it.
License Commission has received notification that the following medallions will be sold at public auction on May 9th, 2019.
Board acknowledges.
License Commission has received notice that Alfie and Yaffa Trans has purchased Medallion 29.
Board acknowledges.
License Commission has received notice that the following medallions were sold at public auction on April 18th.
Board acknowledges.
Matt Burnham, on behalf of Concord Construction, has applied for a special noise variance on Saturday, May 11th, with an alternate date of May 18th, from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. at 231 Cardinal Medeiros.
Granted.
You heard C.J. Baker. One Days, Jason Alves for a malt and wine with entertainment license for Inmanice on May 19th.
Granted.
There's also a request from Community Development to waive the license fee.
Denied.
Newtown School for an entertainment and temporary amusement license at 11 Garden Street on May 18th.
Granted.
Deanna Delgado for an entertainment license at MIT on May 12th.
Granted with amended hours per MIT registration of 5 p.m. to 8 p.m.
Patricia Liu for entertainment license at MIT on May 9th from 8 to 10, May 10th from 7 to 9, and 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. May 11th from 3 to 4, 11 to 3 and 4 to 6.
No, 1 to 3, to 3 and then 4 to 6. Granted.
Zufan Darisa, malt and wine with entertainment license at the Masonic Hall on July 13th.
Granted with amended hours of 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. per permission letter.
Chelsea Owens on behalf of ALS Therapy Development, a malt with entertainment license at 300 Tech Square on August 18th.
I would grant this one with the following conditions. There must be a limited number of alcoholic drinks associated with the admission price. I would suggest 3. Otherwise, and thereafter, the alcohol must be sold. No service of alcohol prior to 10 a.m. Persons who didn't pay registration must purchase alcohol. You must implement a system which clearly shows who is over 21 or under 21 and how many drinks disbursed to those who registrations payment is associated with the service of alcohol. Yeah? Okay. Granted with those conditions.
Jennifer Smith, an entertainment license at MIT on June 2nd.
Granted.
Xiyu Chen, for an entertainment license at MIT on May 15th from 9 to 11, May 16th from 6 to 8, and 9 to 11.
Granted.
Bill Manley on behalf of the Harvard Square Business Association has applied for an entertainment license at Palmer Street on May 9th from 5 to 10.
Granted.
Maxine Godier on behalf of Contact Improv Boston, entertainment license at Masonic Hall on May 25th.
Granted.
Diane Walters on behalf of the Taranga Festival for an entertainment at Market Square Park of University Commons on July 13th with a rain date of July 14th for a children's art and dance festival.
Granted, this was submitted by Arts Council, City Department, so I would vote to waive the fee.
Okay.
Tammy Tiongson for a malt and wine license at Cambridge Boat Club, Jerry's Landing on May 18th.
Granted with amended hours of 6:30 p.m. to 10:30 p.m. for permission letter.
Sean Rahim on behalf of the Benjamin Banneker Charter School, entertainment and one-day amusement license at 21 Notre Dame Avenue for a carnival.
Granted.
MacGyver Maranta for a one-day temporary amusement license at Pacific Park.
Granted.
John Lem for an entertainment license at 44 Bow Street on May 9th.
Granted.
Michael Monestine on behalf of the Central Square Business Association, entertainment license at 297 Mass Ave on May 11th.
Granted with police detail required.
Aaron Becker on behalf of the Cambridge Art Association and Walton Wine license at 25 Lowell Street.
Granted with the condition that there must be a limited number of drinks, I would say three associated with the admission price, otherwise than thereafter the alcohol must be sold. Yes?
Yes.
Granted.
Amanda Henley on behalf of the Harvard Square Business Association, a one-day amusement license for Mayfair on May 19th.
Did we get the mechanical inspection form?
I sent an email to Mr. Manley. I know he contacted the person who wanted the amusement to see if he had it, and I did not hear back.
Okay, so these are require these inspection forms, so. Yeah. We don't have a meeting before May 19th. So would you be okay with saying granted provided that the mechanical inspection form is submitted and there are no issues, or?
I'll be okay with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me just give a quick look in case. Amanda Escamilla, on behalf of Tex-Mex Eats, has applied for 3 one-day wine and malt licenses for May 10th, 11th, and 12th.
I have the same issue with this as I had last time. This is a CV. They could apply for an annual alcohol license. They are generally open only 3 days a week. I understand the business reason why they need this one-day license, and I understand that it's Mother's Day weekend, but I also think that this is not the appropriate way to do so, so I would vote to deny.
I concur.
Denise Jolson, on behalf of the Harvard Square Business Association, has applied for a one-day hawker peddler for Mayfair.
Granted.
Benedict Alberts, on behalf of Triborough Crane and Rigging Services, special noise variance on May 11th, an alternate date of May 18th, from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. at 100 Cambridge, Cambridge Park Drive.
So this came in on May 7th. This is, it looks like also just for sort of crane stuff and picks and all these things. I have an issue granting it for the 11th. I would suggest granting it for the alternate date of May 18th, but only if by the end of the day we get proof that they had noticed the abutters, and if we don't get any opposition by next Wednesday. And I would also like to add a condition that during the variance hours they may only use the crane for setup and stuff. Do proof of notification to abutters by tomorrow, since we'll give them the vote today.
HAS Food Park LLC, doing business as Naco Taco, one-day alcohol and entertainment license on May 11th.
I would deny as applied. I would grant for malt and wine only, so denying the all alcohol. I would also add a condition that the alcohol must be served, that the alcohol served pursuant to this one-day cannot commingle with the restaurant alcohol, and that the alcohol cannot be brought inside the licensed premises, Naco Taco, and vice versa. The Naco Taco cannot come out to this area, and that managerial staff must be present during the entire event in this outside area.
Statement of reasons for Alden and Harlow at 40 Brattle.
Approved.
Did you have an opportunity to review People's Republic?
Yes.
Okay. Statement of reasons for People's Republic at 878 Cambridge
Street. Approved.
Approved.
Minutes for the hearing of March 27th.
Approved.
And were you able to review April 10th?
Don't recall seeing April 10th.
Came yesterday or today?
Second call for BMR.
No.
It is 4:36. No one shows, so no action. And let's just have Mr. O'Neill follow up with them, please. And that's it. Thank you.